248 28 Real 3. Session number 248 28 Real 3.
Harry Caulfield, Real 3. So, from where you were, they were still trying to get towards Longstop, weren't they?
Longstop, that's it. Yeah.
So, where did you go next?
Wait a bit. That's when I had a mishap. Not, we'd got round the Tangutia area, and we used to make tea with the, not with the thing, when you're on the move, you can't carry that kind of stuff with you. So we get a petrol can and water, you've probably heard of that, they make a fire. So like a silly fool, I picked up the petrol can like that. So tipped it under the fire, and it's, the flames are shut up, and I got a huge, so I got took out.
There was petrol in the can, was there?
Petrol in the can, and the it was in strong sun, I remember that, and I said, I got took out for a while then. Mm.
So where did they take you back to?
Algiers, transit camp.
So when you did this, what did the sergeants or whatever say to you? Did they think you were foolish, or?
Oh, I was foolish, but I mean, the thing was, you... I'd got to go back. It was just one of those things. It was a bit foolish, really. Mm. There you are.
No. They weren't cross about it, as it were.
Not really.
They understood it was really accident. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I wish it was like this.
So you went back to Algiers.
Back to Algiers.
Was that to a hospital?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Was that a tented hospital or?
Pardon?
Was it a tented hospital or was it a building?
Tented.
It was a tented hospital. Yeah. So what was the treatment like there? Was it a big hospital?
Oh, huge one. I can't think of the name of it.
Yeah.
It was stacked, you know, they were used to wear the blue, you know, the blue and the red dye. Like, there were lots of them walking about.
So what treatment did you have on your arm? Because it was been...
Well, they just kept bandaging it every day, like, you know, and it gradually subsided. Then I finished back up on the River Trigno in Italy.
Right. Yeah. So, how long were you in the hospital? Do you think?
43.
That was in, sorry, May 43.
That's the. It was about May 43 when it happened. Yeah.
Mm.
And I got back in October. October 43, I think it was.
Right,
yeah. I can remember where it was, where I went back.
Yeah, so it's about 5 months.
A place called Termoli is the place I went.
Can we just finish with the hospital?
Hospital, yeah.
Was it British medics there?
British, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the treatment was good, was it?
Yes, oh yes.
So did you convalesce or?
No convalescence.
No, you just stayed in the hospital.
They were very short of troops, so, you know, there was no... Yeah. So maybe you was well enough for... You could walk back out.
Right. So, I mean, how fit were you by the time you'd spent 5 months in hospital? You were reasonable.
Reasonable, didn't you? I was getting about. It didn't stop me walking about. I just thought I'd be out.
So, from Algiers, then, when you were recovered, how did you get to Italy?
Wait a minute, let's think. Campine was over there.
So where did you leave from? Do you remember?
I landed at Taranto, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Landed at Taranto. Then I moved up the coast and rejoined the regiment at a place called Termoli.
Oh, yes.
There was a big T-R-M-O-L-I. There was a big battle there. Actually, I met a fellow who was blinded there. Well, I was on one of my holidays. He was
Was the battle over when you got there?
No.
Right,
no.
So it was before the battle you got there.
Yeah.
So
Termoli.
Yeah. What have they been doing in the meantime? Did they tell you?
Oh, yes, they'd advanced to, you know, they'd been through Sicily. And apparently, they'd done. People have looked at it, experts, at the place. I can't think of the name of it now in Sicily. But it's a village on top of a mountain. Very hard to get it. And they had took it the Irish Brigade. So, one good thing, I wish that so could have been took out there.
So you rejoined the regiment, and where were they when you rejoined them exactly? What were they in position? Or
in positions waiting to advance to a river called the Trignow, where there's another story. So you want me to tell him?
Yes, please.
From Termoli, I went up towards the Trignow. I was trying to get to a bridge before it was blown, so we marched all night. And I was walking in the daze, I don't know what was coming, and that lack of sleep, one thing or another. As we got down this little road, we heard a bang, the Germans had blew the bridge up. It was too late, So then we went up a little side, what would you call it, like kind of an alley, and dug in there, and waited, and waited, and waited. No sound through for the attack. The big attack was going on, the evening attack it was going to be. So we moved forward. And as we got near this bit of a rice place called San Salvo, the Germans had let us walk right up to their positions, and they opened up with everything. I remember getting down like that. And I remember red, you know, the lights swinging up. Oh my God. The CO, a fellow called Butler, was just to my left. He got killed, stone dead. Nearly every officer was killed. There were sergeants and corporals commanding, because the next line of doing. But biggest part of the officers killed all in, I would say, 2 or 3 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. They'd really walked into an ambush. It was a big attack. It was an Irish Brigade attack. It was London Irish, the Inniskilling Fusiliers, and the Royal Irish.
Yeah.
It was the right time. And I had to pull back. It was a defeat. And when we pulled back the next morning, we were getting the trench, and it poured down a rain. insult to injury. I remember Tommy Wood, that was always one of our fourth, my Captain Wood, really, his whole life. Him coming here, are you all right? Are you all right? Are we all right? We've just been slaughtered.
It's been a huge blow to
morale. Oh, it was. It's a big defeat.
Mm. And those officers who were left,
But it was a real disastrous night. And Butler, he was the CO at the time, before John Oswald, but he got made CO afterwards. But Butler, he shouldn't have been there. He's commanding enough that he shouldn't have been. He's just like where you are to me now, only a little bit more forward. You know. But he should have been conducting things from the rear. But he's that kind of a fella. That kind of a only little, you know.
So a huge blow to morale then for all
that,
of you.
That was. First real defeat.
Yeah. So what sort of things were you saying that evening, you know, after that?
Yeah. Well, he was just, how would you put it, depressed.
Mm.
Very low, you know, I think, oh my God, like, you know. I wonder where it was all going to end. I mean, there's a long campaign in front of us in Italy. We didn't know it at the time, but it was only one river to cross there. And Italy's made comprised of river, mountain. As you cross one river, the mountain would appear. And then cross another, it kept overcoming. And then eventually, we got there, but it was a long and hard campaign. Churchill called it the soft underbelly.
Mm.
Not the Yanks called it. Tough old gut. Yeah, soft underbelly, Churchill called it. Where did he get that from?
Mm.
It was a hard campaign.
Yeah.
Hard.
So did you get any rest after that?
After Trignow. No, we moved on up the line. I know, because we didn't get any rest. Because we took over, eventually, after about 3 or 4 days, another attack went in, and I took the position. And we dug in there and waited. And then I heard a sudden bang. And there was like a little path on the side of this hill. And this fella had run onto a minefield, got the side of his face blown out. Because there are only three prongs they are, the S mines, of course, the anti-personnel mine. That's all he could say. So I've dashed down that gully to get hold on him, to drag him out of it. And the officer was standing on the side, I forget his name now, he said, careful, careful. He said, what? But no, I mean, all you can do is keep looking until I got him clear. So incidents like that remain permanently. You know. There's a lot of things that you forget.
Mm. Is that where you got mentioned in dispatches?
I got mentioned in general, like, and in a place called Cairo. Not Cairo, Egypt. Cairo, yeah. Casino.
Right, So who was that chap you pulled back?
Couldn't tell his name. Don't know.
One of your mob.
None of our mob at all. I thought how unlucky he was. We got the position, you know, sitting in there. He walked, just walking. Actually, it's a fatal thing to do, same as booby traps. I mean, on the Sangro, like, that's jumping the gun again. There was rifles lying about if we took a position. But I wouldn't touch him. Because in Buarada, they left where Grandstand Hill to go back to regress. But the Germans booby trapped Buarada quite a bit. So anybody would leave, don't touch it.
That's quite a frightening thought, isn't it? Yeah.
They would do that regularly, Jerry's. Mm. Yeah. Even I never had personal experience of it, but somebody told me on the trig now, there was that many bodies lying about, that they'd booby trapped for when the attack finally did go in. I don't know how true that was. Mm. They'd booby trapped bodies.
So, you went on forward then.
Yeah.
Where was the next?
Where are we now? Where it's Trig now. We've gone past the Trig now. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're going up towards the Sangro. Uh-huh. Sangro, that's it. But before that, there's a place called San Vito. Uh-huh. Now that's after the Sangro. So now we went up towards the Sangro, that was it. Up towards the Sangro, which was like the Gustav line stretched from Casino right across Italy. Into the Sangro area. Well, Casino is there. It's both part of the same line, but miles and miles apart. And we've got to take, our job then was to take, not the Casino, to take the ridge on the Sangro, get over the Sangro, which we did eventually. A place called Fascistia. We walked down the ramp to that.
Was there much opposition there?
They'd had enough of the jetties, I think. I remember lying, I got two jetties come out. And if they'd remained where they was, I got two Sherman tanks on me left. And I was lying down, and the two jetties come out with their hands up, and I put them down there. And they were shaking, and young lads. And I could see these two Sherman tanks, so it must be all like that. But if them two, they'd got an anti, what they call it, ATIs, the big, you must have heard the big gun, the Germans. They got it on the tanks, and they also got it anti-tank weapon. Yeah. So we virtually walked down to Fascistia, mm-hmm. piece of cake. Hardly now, by then they had enough, and they withdrew, and they went to a place where I've often told you they marched as quickly to get on the hills. They marched as quickly all night to a place called San Vito. Mm-hmm. As we've started to get up towards the seas on the right, the Adriatic, and these jetties start coming, shaving. I don't bloody know where we're at. We didn't know it. I've found out since. We were 18 miles behind the German lines. We'd marched already at night. Yeah. Of course, there was everywhere the jetties.
Do you think, was it intended that you should be there, or were they just
marching too far? No, what they did was to get after the Sangro had fell, they wanted to attack as quick as they could to get them while they was on one leg kind of business, But of course, 18 mile, it's a long way behind the lines. And like, so they started, and there was a fellow, Sergeant Hughes, his name was, he shut up a whole convoy trucks from our position where we'd got. So he got a military medal, but then he disappeared. I think he deserted, I'm sure. I ain't sure about it, but I mean.
What was your position then? You were alongside a roadway?
Alongside the sea was there, the Adriatic, and we was doing along like a little bit of a rise. We were marching along there. I don't know, that was something else. What happened? We always had that area. We went into this barn. There was about 10 of us. And all of a sudden, we seen those two jetties crawling up with the grenades, the stick grenades. A bloke I was working for, fella, he's as white as a ghost. I could see his face now. I looked around. And I thought, if they're going to get near that door, they're going to sling them grenades in. So one bloke used his loaf more than I can say I did. He went round the back of the barn. Old, decrepit barn. There's a little bit of a gap in it. So he's got his brain gun. Killed the jetties. The jetty wouldn't have a dress. He wouldn't have a dress. You know, I remember that. Yeah, I said, we're going to put a dress in there. They're going to cross there. Nearly, he's in the act of dying. And wouldn't let you. You got a military, what they call the Iron Cross.
So he didn't want any first aid.
He didn't want first aid. He wanted to die. Yeah.
What did you think of the German soldiers?
Good. Very good. Very good soldiers. Brilliant, I would call them. I think they're the best in the world, I do, in spite of what they say about us. They're so thorough. I mean, because you know the way they dug in there. I mean, it was a natural position, but the way they. Look at the concrete. I mean, like that. Fire on them in Casino, and it'd be a waste of time. That's concreted in. So they went, when the attack went, they'd shell it and bomb it, they'd even aircraft. And when you went in, you think they would all be dead. But they used to come, bum, 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 brr, brr. Oh, that was another thing, their machine gun. The MG. It was, right, so I forget its exact rate of fire, but it's against our little Bren gun, like a pop gun. Pop, pop, pop. Their machine gun was a terrible weapon. You know, I forget the rate of fire, but it's about three times the rate of being good.
So that barn, was it where?
That place called San Vito. San Fan Vito, then up to San Salvo. They're all sands, aren't they? San Vito was after the Trigno.
Yeah.
San Salvo was after the Sangro.
Mm-hmm. So incident in the barn, that was when you first arrived at the barn.
At arrived at where?
The barn.
The barn?
Yes.
Yes.
It was described where
So,
moving on from that,
yeah.
did you stay in that area or?
We stayed in that area and waited until the battalion came up. Because the only part of us, you know, going on this night thing, I say it was over, and the battalion joined us, and then we started advancing again.
Right.
Now, where did we go from there then? Where are we? Sangro. Oh, yes. After Sangro had fell, they took us back through central Italy, and you heard about sunny Italy, it was snow, blizzards where we was up in the Apennines. And we stayed there virtually. No man's land, nobody bothered with it, like it was just so we're there. And then I remember being very, very, very cold. And then they brought us to a place called Capua on the Casino front. By this time, the troops on the other side of the peninsula had got up to Casino,
yeah.
Which was you heard about Casino, yeah.
So tell me your version of it. So,
yeah.
Where did you? How did you approach Casino? Which side did you come from? From the east or?
From
west.
West. I see. And then it was Capua was the first place we went to. Capua. It was just
what was that like? What was that a village
that,
or?
That was a village, but it's already been taken when we. It was only a rest camp. You don't hear about middle of life there, do you, at all?
No.
Capua. But anyway, we had a nice little rest there. Bit of a rest there. And then little did we know why we had the rest, because the New Zealanders, they wouldn't go attack the thing until the monastery had been took out, because there was a big argument about the monastery. People said it was being used by the Yewisha, I think it was, and they could see everything. I mean, I've been up there since the war, they could see everything that moved. So they barbed wire and booby traps and God knows what. It was a fortress, because, you know, it's tough. And it was on top of a ruddy mountain. I don't know how many feet it was high.
About nearly 800.
800. Yeah. So that was, what a bit. Kapawa. We went to Kaira Village, C-A-I-R-A. It's a village, it's like the monastery's there. There's a place called Monte Castello near there. And this is where the Irish Brigade was, in this area. And down there at the foot of the Monte Castello, and there was a village called Kaira, which, I've read this since, was one of the heaviest shelled villages of the war. And that's saying something. So, it was like every night that the shells would be coming over there. He was in the village every night.
So when you moved into Kaira, did you go into positions which had been protected by somebody else?
Yanks. Yeah. Another pole. Pole, that was it. The Yanks had originally took that area, and the Poles moved, and we relieved the Poles. But to give a little story about Monte Castello, how isolated and how dangerous it was. They couldn't use the toilets. They couldn't even get outside to use the toilets. So they had to use tins to do the business, like, you know. Monte Castello was there, the monastery was over there, and even the slightest movement. Yeah. So then the Kaira was at the foot. And of course, they drawn in the fire to Castello, and any fire drawn there, they started bombing, doing the village then.
So what was your position like at Kaira?
I'll tell a little story, if you want to hear it. I don't know whether it's interesting. A fellow called Farrell. Bear in mind that there was no movement. I mean, no movement, not even the slightest. As they would really bum you. And acting under these orders, Farrell's spotted somebody. He's got his brain gun amongst the rubble. And he spotted this young lad, 6, 7, 8 years of age. His outpourage killed him. Now, I don't think he should have done that. All these years later, I think he should not have done that. And we couldn't bury him, not till night.
He was Italian, was he?
Italian lad, I don't know where he come from. What he was doing there, God only knows. Cost him his life. We buried him under a little farmhouse place, I remember, and we put a thing in unknown, like, you know. And I've been back there since, and I remembered under the villagers, I remembered the crash, and I said, what's happened? But they couldn't tell me what's about it. I was curious to see whatever happened to it. Because all this crash put there, and buried him.
Yeah. So Carol shot him.
Killed him. Killed him.
He was pretty jumpy, Carol.
Oh, you've got to be jumpy. I suppose you can understand it in a way, because like anything that moves, and we're talking about a batteries, we're not just a light shelling, you know, it really bombast you.
Because the noise must have been awful.
Oh, but that's the worst part about it. That's a lot of people that forget that. I didn't tell you about it, did I?
Put it in now, then.
No. Yeah. We was waiting to go up onto... Where was that? That was a bloody Sangro. There was a gully. A gully like that. We were waiting to get up on this ridge. Big gully. And the jetties must have spotted us. We were waiting to get up onto Fossicea. And they really threw everything at us. And I've said to my wife many times, terrible morning, yeah. And then as I've walked around, the gully was like that. As I've gone around the gully, they ain't got a mark on them. It was like that. And I said to Maureen, and I said, there must have been a few killed that morning. And funny enough, in this book, in that bombardment, that one bombardment, there's 194 people killed and 200 injured, all in...
These were British, were they?
British. Yeah, moving up to get onto this group. We couldn't get out of it quick enough. But that saved me, the goalie being like that. Mm. You know, what they call it? Collapses the lungs, don't they, if they get near that.
Yeah, it's a blast in the
blast, yeah. Mm. You were saying about the noise, like, you know, that noise that morning, I always remember that. Mm. It was terrific. I was the worst bum bone I've ever been on there. Oh dear, stop. You think it's never going to stop, like. Mm. I say it took 400 people out, that little short member, but it seems as though it's going to go on forever when you're under it.
Yeah.
Of course you want to climb, but you don't want to go forward, really, but it's no good staying there, so you've got to go forward. Yeah. That was another, see how I overlook things like that.
Mm.
Yeah.
So we're at Monte Castello.
Monte Castello. It was the village in Cairo I was. There was in the matrix just up.
So you went into the line at Cairo.
Yeah.
And you stayed there, did you?
We stayed there until one of the final attacks. There was about three or four attacks on Casino, so it's different battles. Yeah. The Yanks got slaughtered there. I mean, you know that day, I mean, they did get really...
So when you were holding Cairo, I mean... Were you firing at the Germans much, or did you have any...
It was pretty static. It was only if there was any movement. There was no, like, attacking going on. They couldn't move any further, really. You see, they were stuck.
Mm.
They'd tried everything, you know, under the sun to take the monastery. That even, as you know, they've... Have you ever seen the monastery? The photo of it? I've got a photo of it there somewhere. Yeah. But it's absolutely devastated. The monastery. Yeah. Right.
Were you there when the bombers came over?
Yes, all the bombers.
You were at Cairo?
Yeah.
What was that raid like? Seeing that?
Well, I wasn't under it, but the Germans was under it.
But you could see it happening.
I could see it happening. Mm-hmm. See, when that finished, the artillery opened up as well. Right? As so, because they used it. I say, this is how clever they are. That was an advantage to them. Once it produced all that rubble, they used it as a, you know, to get the guns amongst it. And what should have been an acid, it wasn't. So that was good soldiers, couldn't, hard to move. I mean, when they finally moved, I mean, it took a real good, you know, they got troops from God knows where, and they moved us over, as I say, from the Adriatic. That meant the main attack at. So you know.
Mm. So you stayed at Cairo for how long, do you think?
Cairo? About a month.
Mm.
Where do we go from there then? Because then they brought us out. I'll come to that in a minute. It's when they took Casino, actually. They moved us out over the River Rapido, and we lay there. There was bodies everywhere. That meant people just couldn't get out to bury him. Like, I seen one German. He was, I don't know how long he'd been there, but he was like a big balloon. He was blue. I don't know how many days he'd been there. And I done this thing I shouldn't have done. I took some photos out of a dead Jerry's souvenirs. I've still got them, you know. But I shouldn't have done that, really. He got his mother there, you know.
So you went over the Rapido.
Yeah, across the Rapido.
How easy was it to get across the Rapido?
That had already been done. Somebody else said they'd crossed that. They'd like put a bridge there. So we just moved into the trenches. I saw there's all these bodies lying about. And then they started to come in, the Germans. It was beginning to fall, monastery. They were starting to come in from a place called San Angelo. And I was beginning to crumble the opposition. Then, where did we go then? Oh, that was it. We moved up. We could see the monastery. We were down in the valley by then. We were starting to get into the valley. They were starting to go back a little bit. And we saw the monastery up there. And I saw the poles. I saw them put the flag up. Yeah, I was lucky. I was down there. I mean, right, just up there, just like that light is up there. I could see them putting the flag up. That's That's it now, look. Because we were still down in the valley, and they were still coming out of cellars. God knows where. You couldn't be sure, like, you know. They were still. So, and then we walked along there.
Right, I'll stop you just there. Harry Caulfield, end of reel 3.